Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, happy Saturday night. You're listening to Grey Eye Smith, and this is called Bad Company. The show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on Amazon.com under the same moniker. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight is a night of carryovers, and so it's going to be a fantastic night of poetry and great company. All right, so that's that. I'm going to go to the phone lines here, and we'll bring on a couple of callers. Hi, Kate.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's good to hear your voice. You must have gotten your mic figured out.
Yeah, just about. How am I sounding? Am I clear or am I too loud?
No, you're perfect.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we have one more caller here. Hi, area code 585. Is that you, Laura?
How you doing, Gray? Hey, Katie.
Hello, Zaya. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad.
Thank you both for calling in tonight to join me. I appreciate you very much. All right. So I'm going to grab the first poem here. And if you wouldn't mind giving this a read, that would be awesome. Weaver of Dreams.
Yeah. No problem. I just have to get it on my little... Pander, She is Spring Breeze by Forgotten Dream. How lovely. Here we go. She whispers to me across the backyard. Lavender breath floats like dewdrops caught in spider's webs, caressing softly behind my ear. Her tickling laugh washes over me, a bubbling cocktail, tingling and cool. Light fingers play in chocolate strands prior to gliding over my shoulders and down the curve of my spine. Blushing cherry blossom lips flutter closer, my head fuzzy with floral tones and the verdant bistriac flavor of her kiss swirling. My mouth is filled with sunlight, chest stirring with fledging butterflies, arms wrapped to hold her, but she has fluttered on. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Kate. And I like the poem. You know, it really captures the essence of somebody who's lavender breath floats like dewdrops caught in a spider web. I mean, just incredible imagery there. And then, light fingers play in chocolate strands prior to gliding over shoulders and down the curve of spine. Blushing cherry blossom lips flutter closer, my head fuzzy with floral notes and the verdant fragrant flavor of her kiss swirling. Just fantastic imagery, and you can feel the emotion in that. Essence of the spring breeze as a personality. Just a beautiful job. What did you think, Laurent?
Well, I've got to say that your comment was right on. It's a great metaphor. A spring breeze can be fitful. It can be inconsistent, and it's everywhere. And I've known people like that. We used to call them social butterflies, flitting from table to table, laughing, touching, just being very social, very open, very in the moment, so to speak. And then they're here one moment, and then they're gone the next, very much like a spring breeze. It does a great job with the metaphor. Blushing cherry blossom lips flutter closer, my head fuzzy with floral notes and the verdant petrichor flavor of her kiss swirling. Very nice piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Laura. And Katie, what did you think?
Oh, this was a breath of fresh air. I thought it was so... The only thing I can think of is sweet, I hope nobody thinks that detrimental, but it was. There was a hesitancy there, a sort of a shyness within it, which I found so alluring. I don't know how much I'd be fond of chocolate all over my shoulders, but other than that, which may be something other people enjoy. My, it'd love me. But, yeah, the use of the vernacular was absolutely wonderful. It was. I just enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you so much for Gotten Dream.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, Laurent, I have the next poem up, if you would mind giving that a read, please.
All righty. And this is called Crave the Craze by Poetic Debris. Have you ever listened to the flowers, smelled the redolent drops of rain showers? Have you ever tasted a musical note or seen the tunes of a lone sailing boat? If you haven't, you must absolutely try. Chew on some stars, take a bite of the sky. Set by the seaside, chit-chat with the sand. Capture the tide in the palm of your hand. Wash your face with the rollers as they flow. Honey your tea with a pinch of rainbow. Dunk your biscuits in the milky thewed frost. Spread a spoonful of sun on a crisp toast. Nosh some dew. Have a sniff of the maw of the morn mist. Make the dove's feathers bangles for your wrists. Inhale the cherries, springly slurred words. Behold the hues and the chirps of bluebirds. Ski along the swans, cross the crystal lake. Ask the bathers for a fresh nectar shake. Take a bath down the sunlit water streams. Swathe your weary mind in velvet daydreams. Luck the scattered stardust beneath your skin. Swallow the fleeting clouds. Let your head spin. Embrace the cold. Let snowflakes seal your eyes. Take a nap on the warm wings of fireflies. Break your shackles. Let your fancy run wild. Unlock the gates for your crazed inner child. Just when you leak the fence of sanity, you'll be venturing sheer infinity. End poem.
Wow. That was an amazing read, Laurent. Beautiful read. And, you know, the poem's so engaging, you know, it really captures your imagination and carries it, you know, on this crave the craze, you know, to break your shackles, let your fancy run wild, unlock the gates for your crazed inner child. And just when you leap the fence of sanity, you'll be venturing sheer infinity. Man, that was a century-filled poem, and it had a outstanding imagery as well. Just a fabulous poem throughout, and excellent read, Laurent. Weaver, what did you think?
That was an excellent read. Thank you so much, Laurent. And this was a front-page pick, not surprising. I just thought that first stanza was so clever. I've always loved people twisting things around so that your mind is thinking one thing while your eyes are seeing something else. Have you ever listened to the flowers and you're thinking, well, I've smelled them? You know, it's just beautiful. Smelt the redolent drops of rain showers? Have your ear tasted a musical note or seen the tune of a lone sailing boat? Oh, yes, I like a sailing boat. Yes, I thought it was the metaphor all the way through was beautifully executed. And yes, I enjoyed it a lot. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Poetic Debris.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. And Lauren, what did you think?
The writer, the author, just absolutely leaves the reader enveloped in sensations and sights and sounds. Sensory input is really remarkable in this. Nosh some dew. Have a sniff of the morn mist. Make the dove's feathers bangles for your wrists. Inhale the cherries, springly slurred words. Behold the hues and the chirps of bluebirds. He draws from all aspects of nature, from the inanimate to the animate, the colors, the smells. A wonderful job.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Art. And, all right, I've got the next poem here. And this is by just Poppy. And she has a SoundCloud. Oh, no, sorry. This is by Blues Man. And I'll give this a read. Once I closed it here. All right, there we go. And this is called Bait. She knew what he was doing when she hopped out of the car. Thunder clapped. Lightning flashed. But her home was still too far. An evening gown so sheer would drive any man insane. For me to have her on my arm would take caviar and champagne. Her body swayed like trees in the wind as the storm clouds filled the sky. Rain came down, transforming her gown, and the silhouette made me cry. Under a light on this stormy night, I reached out my trembling hand. Through the rain, I could see her pain. It stilled my heart and formed a plan. I won't bite if you stay the night. Then she smiled and coyly said, if done right, I wouldn't mind a bite in the safety of your satin bed. She laughed and said, don't worry, you'll never hear me complain. Whenever I feel the need for a man, I just wear this rag in the rain. End poem. I really enjoyed that. That was a fantastic descriptive write, you know, really captures the essence of her beauty in this dress, you know, and the silhouette that's formed when she's soaking wet in that dress. So just an amazing, right, Blues Man? The imagery was fantastic, and the whole poem was fantastic as well. What did you think, Weaver?
I thought this was incredibly good. I love the twist at the end. Don't you love a woman who knows her own mind? I like that. Yes, it had me all the way through. I'm thinking, well, this is interesting. This is getting more interesting. Yes, I like it. This is very. And then I get to the end and I think, oh, well, okay. This will work. I thought that was wonderfully done. Every stanza was beautifully written and it just flowed so well. And I love the read from you two as well. So, yeah. Thank you very much, Blues Man. It was wonderful.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
Sorry, get off mute. I absolutely agree with what Katie said. This thing has wonderful flow. Now, you know, any decent poem needs to flow, but some just carry you along effortlessly. And this does. And I love the misdirection in this poem, which started really with the first line when Blues Man says she knew what she was doing, but and explains it by saying, in the fourth line, but her home was still too far. So right off the bat, I assume that, you know, she had broken down and was going to try and walk, but her home was far, far away. And then at the end, he fulfills that misdirection with whenever I feel a need for a man, I just wear this rag in the rain, which was her plan all along. So it was very clever, very well written, humorous, thoroughly satisfying to read.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Lauren. That was a wonderful comment. All right, I'm going to grab the next poem here. Now, this is by Heavenly Angel. If you wouldn't mind giving this a read, please, Weaver.
Yes, of course. Just this is getting very slow. My laptop needs debunked. Oh, here we are. Dancing in Heaven by Heavenly Angel. Oh, sunflowers. As I lay down my pad of paper to write, I close my eyes and remember. My mind in deep reflection, sometimes simply verses speak so many volumes. These words that are written for you could never do justice to the life that resonated from you that you shared so unselfishly. Whispered salutations adorn the mask of sorrows. You speak to me even in silence. And I am close beside you once again. Branches sway to hushed whispers of those spirits who moved on, as my mother, who now dances among the clouds. And there is a picture saying, with a beautiful blue sky, saying, tell me, are you happy? Are you more alive? That probably is the prompt, yeah? So, yeah, lovely. I thought it was, yeah.
And yeah, that was a beautiful read, Katie. You know, it's such a wonderful and reverent poem. It's filled with incredible imagery, and you can feel the emotions behind it. You know, dancing in heaven, we can all hope that those that have passed on are in heaven dancing and, you know, living merrily, I mean, you know, in the afterworld. Just a beautiful, sentimental poem. You know, especially that last stanza, branches sway to hushed whispers of those spirits who've moved on, as my mother, who now dances among the clouds. Just a beautiful poem. Excellent write and great read, Weaver. And what did you think, Mark?
It was very moving. And a couple of points. First, the simplicity that the poem implies. Words that are written for you can never do justice to the life that resonated from you. And yet immediately afterwards, we have this wonderful phrase, whispered salutations adorn the masks of sorrow, the mask of sorrows. And again, in the next stanza, branches sway to hushed whispers, those spirits moved on, as my mother, who now dances among the clouds. He doesn't wax too eloquently. She doesn't wax too eloquently. But definitely a step up from the simplicity of words. I mean, the words aren't complicated, but the emotions and the images as metaphors are reasonably sophisticated. So I do like that juxtaposition of resonant simplicity that this very emotional poem offers us.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Once I got past the first stanza, I realized what was going on, and so it made it easier for me to read it because it had so much meaning in it. Beautifully, beautifully worded. And I kind of don't like poetry that's in let's say, a bunch of four lines, all regimented, another four lines, all regimented. I don't like that. It's not nice. But this is so pretty, the way it just flows down a little bit longer. It's very effective. But I thought it was such sweetness in it, and there was you want to speak it in a hushed tone. Even before I got to that last stanza, it was just, as I say, very delicate, very very sweet, very tender, and heartbreaking. So thank you so much for allowing us to read that, Heavenly Angel.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. This is called I Remember When by just Poppy, and she has a SoundCloud. So I will play that.
I recall a time that maybe was, a tale of what might have been, when titans roamed across the land, and frightened children hid behind their hands. I recall a time that might have been, when fearless soldiers rushed head in, having the courage to take a stance, destroying evil before it could advance, when knights fought for the hand of a maiden fair, or rescued a princess by climbing long golden hair, when a sword and stone turned a boy into a king, and fishermen fell in love, when they heard a mermaid sing. If you lived in a hamlet where there were no cats, a pied piper would be hired to get rid of the rats. You may find a magic lamp that grants three wishes. Cows jump over the moon and spoons ran away with dishes. Magic seeds could be tossed onto the ground. The next day a giant beanstalk would be found. Glass slippers dropped and left at the ball, searching for one ring to rule them all. A puppet made of wood could become a boy. The beauty salon was owned by Helen of Troy. Witches lived in houses made of gingerbread and cake. Red dragons would roar and make the ground shake. These magical times are surely missed. But don't worry, they still exist. You just need to know where to look. Travel to the library and read a book.
Wow, that was a fantastic read. And I really liked it, you know. I liked the touching of all these stories, you know. I recall a time that maybe was a tale of what might have been when titans roamed across the land, and frightened children hid behind their hands. And then, you know, each stanza has a plethora of legend stories, you know, books that take you to another world, another time, another place. They're a passport to flights of fancy. And, you know, she says in her author's notes, she says, this came about when a chap from Scotland wrote a poem that dealt with people losing their courage. I asked to use the starting line, I recall a time that maybe was a tale of what might have been when titans roamed across the lands and frightened children hid behind their hands. Changed them a tiny bit, then wrote something completely different using that as my prompt. Well, you did an amazing job with that, Poppy. Fantastic SoundCloud and fantastic write. Beautifully done. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. What a beautiful voice she has. She sounds so young, doesn't she? How sweet. And apt for somebody who's writing this kind of half fairy tale, half history lesson, I think. So beautifully done. I can't pick out one stanza because they're all so good. But maybe this one. This is cute. Magic seeds could be tossed onto the ground. The next day a giant beanstalk would be found. Glass slippers dropped and left at the ball, searching for one ring to rule them all. That's very clever. It's really, yeah. But again, that last stanza. I hit you, didn't it? That last stanza. These magical times are surely missed, but don't worry, they still exist. Need to know where to look. Travel to the library and read a book. Yay for books. Everybody should have a library full of books. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
I always loved poets who could recreate the innocence of youth, of childhood, reading experiences, graced by the most wonderful tales in the world, and somehow all of them seem to have fit handily into this poem. It's a magic poem, speaking about magic things, really. Because I've always felt that reading, proper comprehension and imagination will take you anywhere in the universe at any time that you want to. So when he says, if you lived in a hamlet where there were no cats, a Pied Piper would be hired to get rid of the rats. You may find a magic lamp that grants three wishes. Cows jump over the moon and spoons ran away with dishes. Love the rhyming, love the whole tone of the piece. Admirable.
Beautiful comment, Laura. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poet here. This is Bill the Poet, and he's got a poem called Summer on the Porch. And he has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Summer on the Porch. The lemonade sun beats down from a marmalade sky. The clink of ice cubes drop into a glass of cranberry juice. The satisfying smack of the lips after a liquid reward. Relaxing in a chair, observing the world from the porch. I close my eyes and listen to the sounds around me. The laughter of children playing near the stream. The humming of the bumblebee searching for nectar. The soft footsteps upon a wooden varnished floor. A shadow of a butterfly's wings attracts my attention, showing off its dance moves between a row of bluebells. A ladybird silently crawls across the garden table, attracted by the aroma of homemade vanilla ice cream. The chorus of bullfrogs fills the backyard with rhythmic croaking. The creaking of a rocking chair mingles with the buzz of a mosquito. Or dogs yap at lawn sprinklers trying to catch a refreshing drop. Purring cats lie with stomachs exposed, blinking in the heat. Trying to read a book, but a green fly lands upon the words. Swiping away with my hat, but another takes its place. So I sacrifice the papyrus to the ants and surrender to the sun. Letting the beams of fire turn my skin a goldenrod bronze. End poem.
Wow, that was a fantastic read. and such an engaging, right? It really pulls you into this scene, sitting on the porch with him, you know, as this world is going on around him. You know, a shadow of a butterfly wings tracks my attention, showing off its dance moves between a row of bluebells. A ladybird silently crawls across the garden table, attracted by the aroma of homemade vanilla ice cream. Yum. Sounds delicious. Very sensory and deeply engaging, Phil. Beautiful job. Thank you. What did you think, Weaver?
That was read beautifully. Isn't that just a lovely poem? That first stanza, the lemonade sun beat down from a marmalade sky. Oh, that's so good. And then the clink of ice cubes dropped into a glass of cranberry juice. I thought, yes, there were so many sights and sounds and impressions and aromas. It's got everything here, isn't it? Every single thing that you'd want to make that a perfect summer to sit in the sun. But that trying to read a book, but the green fire lands upon the words. Swiping it away with my hat, as another takes its place. Pesky old devils. Yes, I thought that was beautifully written. Though the poet, I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Selena says she wants ice cream now at 4:30 a.m. Well, you know, it really, it captures your imagination and really brought out the senses, like I said. What did you think, Lauren?
I thought it was a wonderful extension of a moment. The magic that goes on behind closed eyes on a summer's day, I thought was perfectly captured. All the little details offered to us in a very, I think you said engaging, and it was an engaging way, bringing us into the scene. The last couple of words, just that last stanza was great. So I sacrificed the papyrus to the ants and surrendered to the sun, letting the beams of fire turn my skin a goldenrod bronze. This is a fine gold medal poem. And I haven't read, you know, an enormous amount by Phil the Poet. I'd be tempted to say it's among the best things he's written.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Selena's handing out ice cream cones in the group. Everybody, if you want one. What did you think? I mean, sorry. Lauren, would you mind giving the next one a read?
Sure. Let me just push a button or two here. And I can do that. Okay. And we are at Dark for Happiness by Gian Lubodai. Look there. Look your life. Look people near you. So simple. Realizing how people hurt other people. Making up for it. Dedicate to yourself sad and dark moments to grow your soul. Dark visual to recall you are alive. The following step will be the strength you never imagined comes out. It will be the first day of your happiness. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lauren. And I was reading through the comments here, and he says in one of his comments, he says, here is the meaning of my poem. You are there. You come across a song or a poem in a dramatic moment. The more dramatic it is, the more you can oxygenate yourself and get out of a difficult story. Thanks to this shady sound, it clears your mind. It's dark, but it oxygenates you. Well, fantastic sentiment in that, right? You know, there's light and darkness in the world, and you need them both to find balance, you know, yin and yang type thing. And I thought he captured that beautifully in his right. So what did you think, Katie?
I thought, as a brevity, this was beautiful. You can put so much, or people can put so much into so few words and express exactly what they want to express. This is lovely. It's sad and sweet. It's that juxtaposition, as usual, of what you feel you want to say, but you also want to make sure people understand it's not got to be all dark. You can have a light as well if you're kind to each other and don't hurt each other. That would be so lovely. That's the world I want to live in. I'll probably be away tomorrow. I think that'd be a good idea. A few days away in a place that everybody likes everybody else. How cool would that be? It brings to mind what we should be and what sometimes, unfortunately, we're not. And I thought it was beautifully written. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And, Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Did I give a comment? No, I just read the thing. Sorry. It seems so familiar. Didn't I just do this? Encouraging dark for happy moments, it sounds strange initially, but it is, those are the sad and dark moments that grow your soul. That somehow in the midst of despair, you are so alive because of the moment that it then allows you to recall what alive really is. And following that despair, the emergence of happiness will really be a revelation. I enjoy the poem immensely.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right. So, Celine is asking you in the group, Lauren, are you a squiffy? LOL.
Am I a what?
Squiffy.
Are you a squiffy? Well, let me see. If a squiff reminds me of a skiff, but that's a boat. Squiffy, I don't know, what is it? Good herb wrapped in smoke? Then I'm guilty.
It's having had a little bit to drink. Squiffy.
No. A little to smoke, yes. A little to drink, no.
All right. So we've got this next poem. It's by Dammit Dave, and it's called Desperado. A desperado waiting for a train. The job is done. Another man lies dead. To be a wanted light outlaw is my bane. It's such a lonely life that I have led. The marshal has been wired, and I know that I must leave before he gets to town. I know he'll never refuse to let me go, and I, alas, would have to shoot him down. A desperado waiting for a train, another job, another town ahead. Perhaps I'll be victorious again. Perhaps a man I fight will shoot me dead. A gunman's fate is always up to chance, for someone faster waits around the bend. I'm weary of this mortal song and dance, and where the road will take me in the end. Well, you know, in my comment I said, the life of a renegade, desperado, is never guaranteed. And, you know, that's quite evident in his poem, you know, where he's always wondering if he's going to make it through the next job, let alone out of town, you know, without having to kill the sheriff or dying himself. And so fantastic, right? And excellent lines throughout. So what did you think, Weaver?
Unmute. Yes, this was a very interesting take on the desperado. Although, in my mind, I've never actually thought of a desperado waiting for a train. I've always visualized them on this great big horse just galloping with sand being thrown up behind him and the sun beating down on him. But I think a train would be more comfortable. So, you know, good choice. But it was really good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was... It tells exactly what's going to happen to this chap. That the fact that he's got to live with this or die with this because that's the road he chose to travel. And he knows that he will always have to fight because people will just try and bring him down for the very fact that he's a gunfighter. Yeah. It's a harrowing tale. Not one I would like to have. I thought it was beautifully written and it flowed very well. Thank you, Dammit Dave.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Laura, what are your thoughts?
Well, I got to say, Katie, a a horse will get you out of town, but a train will get you way out of town, maybe even out of state. Sometimes you just need to do that. This poem flows in a genre which has been explored wonderfully over a period of time, but there's always room in that genre for great pieces like this. I'll tell you, it wouldn't take much to turn this into a very nice song. If you throw in a chorus and a good guitarist, it's wonderful storytelling. And damn it, Dave is a wonderful storyteller.
Absolutely, he sure is. Did a fantastic job with that, and I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, Weaver, I've got the next poem posted, if you wouldn't mind giving that a read, please.
Yes, of course. You have to bear with me because this is taking a time to refresh. I just keep getting this. There we are. I've got it. Keep clicking, you'll get there. Daily. Spokesman said I was in love with the scent of the height of above. In any really I felt to steep to love you beyond all the need of deed. In height it was seen in fall. The summer gave me an entrance into the call. Whilst the heist may seed the hope, I stalled, because it felt like I was back in the hall of Alice in Wonderland. I fell from this hole of height in the premise of the love of your call. I could bring you into the scent of the sea. In every entity there is a hope of loving me. If you come to me in any scent, I will love you with the hope of no pretend. So cease not form to take pretend. In form I see you love in the height of hand. It shows me calm the kindness dear to which I recline, not the love superior. If ever you could give me a call, I will answer it with the utmost of halt. To bring about the scene may come that you are the love in which my life begun. If feelings are what you're asking for, it is but in the step apart from the door. If you can turn a blind man's eye, then I will live and see you in the height from which I die. Daily. End poem.
Beautiful read, Katie. And in his author's notes, he says, prompt Q95 quote, or K95 quote, I want to write different words for you, to invent a language for you alone, to fit the size of your body and the size of my love. Well, beautiful take on the prompt. It really captures the essence of falling in love and, to love you beyond all need of deed. In height, it was seen in fall. Summer gave me entrance into the call. Whilst the heist may seed the hope, I stalled because it felt like I was back in the hall of Alice in Wonderland. I fell from the tall, on the height in the premise of love of your call, I could bring you in the scent of the sea. Love takes you to so many places, and definitely, it feels like you are falling when you fall in love. That's why they call it falling, because it feels like you're at this precipice and you're falling off that precipice into the arms of your love. So just a beautiful right, MC. MC Ulo the Don. Fantastic right, and amazing imagery as well. Excellent read, Katie. So what did you think, Lawrence?
For just a wee moment, I thought you'd forgotten my name. by the way, that was I got a compliment, Katie, on that read. A cold read like that, a block of text like that, difficult to read, yet you carried it off well. Congratulations. This is written to me in the way a diary would be written. A young woman, perhaps the one imaged, sitting down at a writing desk, pouring her heart out to the page, as it were, because we're given fragments of sentences grouped together. Initially it feels like prose, then you can see it's poetry, but it runs together in a block text, which gives it sitting there scribbling out their thoughts, some of it triggered by wordplay, perhaps, by emotion. Words come to us in a variety of different ways. Sometimes they matter, sometimes they don't. I think these matter. They're really very clever, right? Very moving and emotional, very realistic, very, very much appreciated its presence tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, Lauren. And Katie, what did you think?
Well, I generally don't read any poetry from a show before I go on. So I go in without knowing what I'm going to see, and that'll teach me. That was so hard, but beautiful. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was, I did want to do it justice, and I know I stumbled a couple of times, so my apologies for that. But yes, it was just a complete mad rush of words for me. It kept hitting me. You know, here's another one. Here's another one. I just thought it was beautifully put together. I certainly couldn't do that, and it was definitely a language for one person. It was an ode to the person that was loved, and I thought that was beautifully done. There's some beautiful poems in there. So, yes, I enjoyed it, much as it scared the bejesus at me. I enjoyed it very much, Sai. Thank you for allowing me to read that.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to post the next poem here. If you wouldn't mind giving this a read, please, Lauren.
Yes, I will. Fresh in the core of our bones by Swan Song. I touch you into the melting of desire, press against your body until the aria of your voice sings in guttural songs of deep ecstasy, where unknown words flitter out like bird songs on a balmy spring morning. Whispers interposed by the susurration of lips, wet trembling across my skin as I glide across yours, two lonely skiffs on a voracious sea of the most conate hunger. Let the dove of your passion soar into the cyan of my sky and sift through clouds of dreamy tantalizations. With limbs entangled, pulses rise then fall, only to peak again. We learn the idiom of our moans in deepest core of our bones. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lauren. That's such a touching poem. You can feel the passion and the desire in this. You know, it's so deeply passionate and engaging throughout. You know, whispers interposed by the susurration of lips, wet and trembling across my skin as I glide across yours. Two lonely skiffs on a voracious sea of the most conate hunger. You know, the passion in this is just palpable. Beautiful job, Swan Song. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, this is powerful. I get, it's another one of those, I want to write different words for you to invent a language for you alone to fit your size of your body and the size of my love. So that's the quote they're writing to. And this is beautifully done. It's just so. It's a kind of a. Although it's very sensual, it's a kind of a quiet passion. I'm taking that, I suppose, from where unknown words flitter out like bird songs on a balmy spring morning. So yes, it's passionate, but gentle as well. And I thought it was beautifully done. That last stanza. Is a cracker. With limbs entangled, pulses rise and fall, only to peak again. We learn the idiom of our moans in deepest core of our bones. Yes, beautifully written. I'm using that word too much, but yes. Thank you, Swan Song. That was a excellent write. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Katie. And Lauren, what did you think of the poem?
I had the real pleasure of reading this not aloud, but reading the poem back in November, and I was really struck by it, especially by the phrasing and the imagery. I mean, I really appreciate his vocabulary all throughout this. Whispers interposed by the susurration of lips, wet and trembling across my skin as I glide across yours, two lonely skiffs on a voracious sea of the most connate hunger. That's fine writing, it really is. And the use of skiffs as a metaphor, I thought was very effective. And I agree with Katie, the last stanza is a real winner. You know, we learn the idiom of our moans, and deepest core of our bones is one of those phrases that when we find it and we see it on paper, we look at it and smile and you say to yourself, that resonates. And yeah, they resonate.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And I'm going to welcome on another caller. I believe this is Naomi. Hi, Naomi.
Hello. Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi, Kate. Hi, Laura. Hi, Gray.
Hey, Naomi. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Sorry I'm late. I was writing a poem for you, Gray, for your new contest.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Did you get a chance to hear that last poem, Naomi?
Yeah, I didn't hear it, but I read over it. What's that noise? My gracious. I read over it, and wow, eh? If the title of the poem is in the core of our bones, but it really strikes you right to the core of your bones for sure. What a wonderful, wonderful write this is, my gracious. I just love the part that, that's me. It's like I'm echoing or something. I just like the part that Laura recited, and but all through, oh my gracious, like I mean the all through, this is so beautifully written, awesome, just a stunning write here by Jeff, by Swan Song. Bravo.
Excellent comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, so you've just joined us, but we have your poem coming up, so we'll just give you a double read, if you don't mind reading this next poem, Naomi.
Okay. This is by Joy and Joy. Oh, what a cool name. Ah, tra-la-la poetry. Little things as great gift, yet full of charm indeed. Like shining little branch, Stendhal also knew it. Trinkets, secret treasures, a duckling with an umbrella, and the duck discreet looks, the watercolor sky measures. Two girls stay side by side near the stove without fire. Your look just pretty nice, undress me such eyes. Thy look started burn me, says the other pretty girl. She seems so unyielding to clear up this confusion. He didn't even look at her, however his platonic love was this soul with breath. Who frowned but still smiles. Romantic Lie of René Girard and some others who think there isn't spontaneous love, however, it is but really hard. Something else make better. We wait at end of this course. About mimesis, romantic love, try to write a seminar paper. And poem.
Well, beautiful read, Naomi. And I like the poem. You know, it's got a wonderful story to it about falling in love at first sight, you know. It's definitely engaging throughout. You know, it really carries along the storyline. And I really like, he don't even look at her, however, his platonic love was this soul with breasts who frowned but still smiles. And then something else make better. We wait at the end of this course. about Mimesis' romantic love, try to write a seminar page. Yeah, fantastic poem. And that's another poem by, or quote poem by Kabney. So, yeah, fantastic write and an excellent read as well, Naomi. What did you think, Norma? I mean, Weaver?
I answer to anything. Don't worry about it.
Tell us about Norma.
I thought it was really lovely. A story about people do fall in love instantly. I mean, it's we know they do. That phrase wouldn't be there if they didn't, I don't suppose. But yes, I thought it was very pretty. I liked it. It started to escalate a little bit towards the central, towards the end of it. But I thought it was lovely. I thought it was a very romantic. I'm sorry, my mouth is getting so dry. You must excuse me. Very romantic piece of poetry, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Lauren, what did you think?
I quite frankly had no idea what the word mimesis meant. So I had to look it up, and I thought it was fairly important. It's the mimicry, the act of expression, the act of resembling, the presentation of the self. So all of a sudden, the last stanza made enormous sense to me, followed by try to write a seminar paper. It's very tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, it takes a look at love that develops from a single glance, which I really believe in, having been the subject of such a moment myself, as a matter of fact. It's a poem that elevates writing, I think. It's more of a poet's poem than any kind of a romantic poem, yet it succeeds on both levels. Great piece.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, you know, I focused in on René Girard, and I looked him up, and I think that's the whole basis of the poem right there. You know, René Girard was a French philosopher, and he studied the psychology of desire, and he claims that human desire function initially or mimically. They're mimically, you know. You desire. What says there? Some object of desire as desirable by desiring it themselves. So basically, you desire an object, but by desiring it to yourself. I think she based her poem on a bit of his philosophy there around, you know, desiring something that you first desire yourself. It's hard to understand a bit, but philosophers are like that. But, really a great, great written poem and, you know, very thought-provoking. And I think it needs quite a few reads before you truly grasp all the deepness of this poem for sure. So awesome, deep, deep and layered poem.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Okay, we've got the next poem up. We're actually into the open poetry part now. So this is by Arcana Amour, and it's called Voodoo Hoodoo. And then we'll play the SoundCloud for that.
Taï, la villa, les mouns d'affaires, j'ai goûté celui-là. Jean-Yo-M-la.
Papa Legba smiles down with a nod of approval, granting communication with the spirit world. Balancing the scales of life and death, his ember-red eyes stare from a grey-white face. painted as a skull beneath long black dreadlocks. The gatekeeper unlocks doors to other domains, preparing the ceremony with somber blessing. The path of survival and destiny must be walked, paying tribute to deities they seek to speak. The hoodoo gather obediently to their calling. Hypnotic rhythms rise in fervid tempest, inviting trance-induced storms of frantic frenzy. An irresistible mantra of melodious rhapsody that swallows the mind in manipulative magic, drowned in the throb of beating drums. Papa Dambala entwines his serpent's caress, called forth from the depths of deepest seas, invoking those spirits who protect the gates. Possessed of Loire, the mesmerized dance wildly to attain the blessing of a sweetened path. The mambo chants to the rhythm of life in mesmerized minds of involuntary sway. Those who serve the spirits shall not fall, as the pulse echoes the realm of the dead. Baron Samedi watches on from the shadows. A ritualistic tempo incites wanton abandon, conjuring with cadence the pantheon of the Loire. As the snake constricts around the rainbow, eyes glaze in unconscious derelict desertion, shaking and trembling to the beat of the Loire.
You know, deeply engaging throughout the read and the write. It really takes you on this journey of voodoo, hoodoo, and, you know, all that goes on with that. Hypnotic rhythms rise in fervid tempest, inviting trance-induced storms of frenetic frenzy, and the irresistible mantra, a melodious rhapsody that swallows the mind in manipulative magic, drowned in the throb of beating drums. Just a wonderful poem. I mean, he really did his research on voodoo with all his insightful and engaging characteristics of voodoo. And, you know, where he says, the mambo chants to the rhythm of life in mesmerized minds of involuntary sway. Those who serve the spirits shall not fall, as the pulse echoes the realm of the dead. Baron Samedi watches on from the shadows. And then, you know, also a ritualistic temple incites wanton abandon, conjuring with cadence the pantheon of Loa, as the snake constricts around the rainbow, eyes glazed in unconscious, derelict desertion, shaking and trembling to the beat of the Bowala, which is drums. And so just an amazing poem, an amazing SoundCloud as well. What did you think, Weaver?
Ah, yes. It was hypnotic, wasn't it? I was almost up dancing along, but perhaps not. Beautiful. I mean, that picture would frighten my grandmother. Blimey, that is one devious, evil-looking gentleman with his snake. But he's the one who grants communication with the spirit world, so I suppose he has to look the part. But he's balancing the scales of life and death. His ember-red eyes stare from a grey-white face, painted as a skull beneath a long black dreadlocks. Yes, that is a beautiful depiction of what you'd expect a person into voodoo would look like. Beautifully written. So much, I mean, research into this must have been immense as well. So, I mean, you have to give praise to somebody who could give you that kind of information about that particular type of life so well and rhyme it and sing it, more or less, because that's what it sounded like to me. It was lovely. Yes, I enjoyed it very much. Ristolic tempo incites wanton abandon. Yes, beautifully written as ever, and much as I'd expect it to be, but I think this particular genre is beautifully done. Yes, loved it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. It was a great comment. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Well, one might only dream of being able to present one's work as professionally and as entertainingly as that was done. Really, no small feat, I think. Very accomplished, and I appreciate that. It was a fun presentation of really a great poem. I will never, ever write a poem about voodoo again, no matter how tempted I might be, because to me, I'll never come close to this. I mean, I'm not sure, was it Weaver who said the amount of research necessary to create this? Wow. This is quite an accomplishment. I can't really say anything better than that.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, I agree with Lauren. You know, after hearing this on voodoo, you know, who would want to attempt to write an equal list, write on the subject, and, you know, without this in your mind, you know, just to the drums in the background. This was wonderfully put together. I really love the stanza that you recited, Gray, and I love the names you put in here, like Baron Samedi, and the boule, beat of the boula, the pantheon of the loa, and just the name of the Papa Legba, with the black, long black dreadlocks. I love all the details we put here into this poem, and the imagery and just the emotion that poured out of it, the whole thing. You were just like you said, I think you were enthralled and captivated and hypnotized by the whole piece. So bravo.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, we've got the next poem up here. This is called The Heavens Beneath Our Feet by Daniel Deschino. Underneath the concrete continuum, the crushed stone foundations and deadwood floors, floats a spark of the heavens, a wisp of the ether, a collection of eternity. And children released from mother's arms dream of starship wandering as earthly miracles caress their feet. Blue-green oasis in a black empty void, the stranded once nurtured and quenched, ignore the trees and waters and stare beyond the desert horizon for the forest rivers of their dreams. End poem. Wow. That had incredible imagery, and the metaphors are spot on. The emptiness of the world and where nature is not appreciated, and, there's a disengagement here of nature. And I thought it was one well done. Beautiful, right, Daniel? Thank you for sharing. Weaver, what did you think?
I agree. It's beautifully written, isn't it? And I particularly like that second stanza. Floats a spark of the heavens, a wisp of the ether, a collection of eternity. That's just lovely. I like that a lot. Yes, I've always been a believer in hugging a tree, looking after nature, being kind to it. I'm afraid anybody like myself can't do anything, but all of us together could do a lot. But we're not. We tend to be a little bit, turn your back on it, it might get better, which is not a very good way to look at things that we've got a problem with. But I thought this really brought home that we need to be aware of the ground we stand on and the trees we stand under, the water we drink, and if we're very lucky, the air we breathe, because even that's becoming so polluted in a lot of big towns. So I thought, yeah, this kind of brings it home. You must start thinking. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen, does it? Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Sophisticated piece by Daniel, who always manages to blend or at least render science in a romantic, almost lyrical fashion. When he says, floats a spark of the heavens, a wisp of the ether, a collection of eternity, he is talking to the heavens beneath our feet, because the earth itself is star stuff, stuff of the heavens, like all planets are. And we forget that. It becomes just that mixture of concrete. It becomes that concrete continuum with its stone foundations and deadwood floors. The children released from mother's arms, the new generations, are now dreaming of different things, dreaming of starships. He calls them the stranded. You know, we used to be stranded in a village, and stranded in a territory, and stranded in a state, and stranded in a country, and now they're stranded on Earth. Once nurtured by the very world, well, they have new horizons, and there are new forests and rivers of their dreams. It's a new generation embarking on an expansion into space, while at the same time being exactly what it was that Weaver said it was. Look at the Earth that we treat so callously.
Absolutely. Fantastic comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I just echo everything everybody else said. And I did plant a tree. I planted a tree in my yard, Kate.
Wonderful.
And I mean to plant more, you know, because trees are oxygen. And they're so important. But, you know, wonderful poem here. So deep. And like Laura said, it has a lyrical quality to it that's so engaging, you know. But what a wonderful, deep message he has here. Very thought-provoking all through and just wonderfully, wonderfully written, for sure. Bravo, Danielle.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you for sharing. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is called Butterfly Lips, and it's by Poetic Picasso, and he has a SoundCloud, which I will play.
If I could fly away with you to the hunger glint of a morning dawn, hide in the color of your violet beauty, of springtime with my wings, sip from the sweet nectar, from the velvety petals of your purple lips, caress the gentle touch of your blossoming flower forever. I wish I could feel the rhythmic beating of your heart, see the dewy glow radiating from your sparkling eyes, dance with the harmony of your orchestra voice, within the romantic shimmer of the dip of the twilight. I make your blushing cheeks swoon with the passion of my words, waiting to be enraptured of my soothing seduction. I am the taste of a mulberry kiss, formed of an evening succulence, a nightly champagne to entice, and the intoxication of your drinking. Love is sleeping in the embrace of your violet petals, washing away the sad tears of yesterday's rain, comforting you to the lullaby of my flapping wings. As you press gradually against my butterfly lips, eres mi sed y yo soy tu vino. You are my thirst and I am your wine. You are my thirst and I am your wine.
Wow. How fantastic was that, SoundCloud? The music was just melodic and, you know, really complimented his reading. But I really liked the passion and the desire in his poem. You know, it's so romantic and such a deeply touching poem. I wish I could feel the rhythmic beating of your heart, see the dewy glow radiating from your sparkling eyes, dance with the purest harmony of your orchestral voice within the romantic shimmer of the dip of the twilight. Just a beautiful poem. You know, he is the king of sensuality, but now he's also becoming the king of romance as well. So beautiful job, Frank. Thank you for sharing. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, that was, yeah, as you say, he has his sensual, sexy side, but this is the romantic side is equally enjoyable. I mean, every stanza is just dripping with emotion. But I think my favorite stanza, if I can find it. Oh, I can't find it. Oh, yes. Washing away the sad tears of yesterday's bitter rain, comforting you with the serene lullaby of my flapping wings. You make a beautiful butterfly, Frank. And that last two lines, just absolutely beautiful. You are my thirst, and I am your wine. Perfecto. Yes, I loved it as usual. Beautifully done. Lovely background music as well, which fitted beautifully. So thank you, Frank. It was lovely.
Thank you, Weaver. Appreciate it. And Laurent, what are you thinking?
Well, it was fabulously voiced, as it always is with Frank. And who could not enjoy the imagery that he employs, the metaphors so skillfully created. And it is very much a more romantic poem than a sensual one. Yet in Frank's own words, romantic poetry is his thing. A poet of the romantic and Victorian epochs, as his biography states. And you can see why, because he has the tone. He's able to create the imagery in a flow that convinces us that we're looking at a butterfly and a flower, only to realize, of course, that it isn't. Wonderfully done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is beautiful. I am the fresh taste of a mulberry kiss, full of an evening succulent, a nightly champagne to entice in the intoxication of your drinking. And that is just beautiful, you know, but it's every stanza is amazing. You know, it's very beautifully written by Frank here. So amazing, amazing, right?
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and this is by Stelina, and she has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
Once thine eyes were smitten by my comely form, and my days were graced with your charm and favor. Thou wast my world, my lord, mine only true love, mine all. All my womanly charms I surrendered to you alone to savor.
Oh, my sweet Anne, thou art fairer than any rose which hast ever bloomed.
In happiest halcyon days of revelry, music, and dance, all my duty was to thee. Thy devotion was the joy of my life. We rode the forests, made love neath the blossoming boughs. Hence from the palace where we meet the Asaya and his goodly wife.
Come, mistress of mine heart, to gust the wine of thy lips, I truly yearn.
Then darkness fell upon me, as thou cast me aside from thee. Another fair young beauty inflamed thee, stealing away thy sight. I lived mid suspicious sideways glances and malevolent murmurs, languishing for thee and thy passionate embrace each lonely night.
Blast ye, thine lips and body betray me, wife. Get thee yonder. Begone, I say.
Anon, awaiting mine own fate in this dank tower, watching crimson rivulets flow from the necks of my friends and dearly beloved brother, falsely accused of incestuous and adulterous acts, when for me, sire, my faithful heart desired no other.
Ah, sweet Jane, I hast been sorely betrayed. Cometh, give comfort to your lord and master. Give peace and joy to thy king.
As the glint of the sharpened sword blinds me in the sunlight, I whisper a heartfelt prayer to the Lord God above. Mine own precious daughter shall liveth to rule our kingdom, and by her side she shall knoweth a deep and abiding love.
Wow, that was an epic performance by Stelina and Rex, Intimidus Rex. You know, they really captured the essence of the poem in their read. You know, it's a wonderful period piece on the subject of the king and his affairs. And, you know, it just really is deeply engaging and powerful hitting poem, hard-hitting poem. You can feel her loss and her loneliness as she is awaiting in the Tower of London to be executed by Henry's words playing through her mind. And, you know, it's already, it says in the introduction, it says, this is written in Anne Boleyn's voice as she waits in the Tower of London to be executed, Henry's words playing through her mind. The reference to Jane is Jane Seymour, who was already in his bed before Anne died. Yeah, just an epic read and an epic write, Stelina. Beautiful job. And Yeah, just amazing. Amazing. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, extraordinary. Totally extraordinary. The two voices just blended beautifully. It was a triumph. I loved Selena's voice when she had that lower register. It was really, really evocative. And the storyline. I mean, Anne Boleyn, like all his wives, seemed to be besotted on the little rotund individual. But he was a nasty piece of work. Yeah, and she's captured all of that, the pain, the loneliness, the fear, all there. So it was just excellent, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. There's so much feeling, passion, pathos. One of your best, my darling. Beautiful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
Well, if you know what the word agape is, that's my mouth. After, I'm so proud, I think, of the people that we have who write poetry. I mean, there's not a bad one in the bunch tonight. There's some outstanding ones I think we can all appreciate. And this is right there. It is, to my mind, it's professionally presented, professionally recorded, done so well that what can you do but admire it with an open mouth, admire the harnessing of fascinating bits of history and transform it into poetry of the first caliber, rites of the first water. Just, you know, kudos to all of our poets, and kudos to Rex and Spallina for that fine work.
Absolutely. Great comment, Laura. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is just stunning. Like, me too. Agape is a good word, Laura, there. Have your mouth wide open there. Just, wow. You know, everything, you know, the mise-en-scene there, from the music to the collaboration, the two voices that, you know, like Kate said, fit so well together. You know, you just imagine Anne there in the tower and thinking of all these things, you know, as she's waiting to be executed there, you know. So what an amazing, amazing write. So well. So then the flow of it was so beautiful, you know. So it hit every mark, indeed. Wonderful, right?
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here, if I can get the right link. Here we go. And this is by Layla. It's called Three Fingers. Sounds like a drink to me. Okay, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
Three fingers. Three fingers circling, convulsing digits, diametric malicious. Three fingers circling, sent, shoulder, flesh torn, ripped and rent. The herald tunes his instrument. The Presbyterian Church of Penumbra, embezzled in schismatics, convulsing convocation, taking communion in retaliation. But be not silent, without vocal evocations, emanating prayer, without navigations in magnetic compasses, of course, without emancipating exhortations for the Lord Him, without divinity's assistance. Awake, sleepers, awake, sitters, awake, dirt eaters of witch soil. Broadening clouds, developing storms, tumuli, more colossal than the spirit following my fates, avengers, exsanguination, fate. bound and head bowed on an itching stump forlorn. With no space between you and emptiness embrace, dance pitches broil into dissension. Either the asylum or the soil remains, the only potentials. Jehovah Shammah, put my soul out in your palm. In the twisting of fingering, fugue falls. 42,000 falling at the crossing, and passionate, pathetic, prophetic in facades. I was a shibboleth in lachrymous lament. I was frozen in nails and torn whisperings atop the Christ's crown. I was spike piercing, penetrant into holy logos bones. I was dirty and unworthy in unwashable ash crosses, going out about the world, screaming unclean into the dark. 100 Jordanians couldn't erase the blot, and parchment is written just so to wickedness, signing deceit in the infernal infinities. I thought everyone else kind of lighter, more luminous. I thought everyone else preferable, preferential, more powerful. Little thieves, you know, submarines, wishes, lions, tamed, who are they? In venial and vulgar whales. Decapitate them, and with a flight of heights, upturned heads holding blooming bouquets. Alluring elegance, angelic with open mouth, dying flower pot rot. Duplicating devil's touches, hushes of his aspiring secrets, vanquishing he, vanquishing me, so let it be. Hideous deformation, sinfully, unsightful, wicked, ignoble, wildness and horrible, corruptions unknowable, withdraw thee from nevermore's. Every soul of wood falls. Prisoning reaper, demoning, screaming, in the slobbering darkness, spirit shriek, serene. And I'm sticking my tongue through keyholes, void of Stygian peepholes, abominable ancient crafty jaylocks, slut the bastard bite it off. Curse and vermin, bandits and highwaymen, crafty thieves in the night, sleepwalking liars, carrying crippling children in sickly arms delight, killers, cutthroats and slayers, can cast no tricks nor await for us in the darks of night. For the Eurodivine primordial potencies, powerful decor churches with emeritans of evil. Beholding toes behind foresight, god of intellect and bright accolade, descending in wounded dolorous entity justitia, tearing out his eyes, confiding this blind life amongst us cancers. Deliver us from the trickery of cheating existences, metamorphosis of betrayal, shifting and drifting and blood shedding, drowning in the direst of grievances. Oh, how I hated myself, God. Oh, how I hated myself. And all my way remains, my first self seeking forgiveness, banishings, and pursuing smiles around the black breath. These three fingers were circling, circling still, from bridge to bounds, lapped in wane laments. These three fingers, Jehovah, these three fingers first and last, these three fingered fates.
Wow, what a deep poem. You know, it's definitely powerfully written. You know, it really hits hard with its intonations and its depth. You know, it speaks to speaks to religion and, you know, its role in our lives and the art of the three fingers and how its role in our life has being a part of who we are, you know, these three finger salutes And I thought it was just an amazing poem with an excellent read on your SoundCloud. So beautifully done, Layla. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, that voice. Oh, that accent. Is that really, really divine. I really enjoyed listening to the poem. And yes, so deep. Such a look into what religion is, was, shouldn't be. I loved it. There's not one stand in here that I could actually pick out to say meant more to me than any other, because each one of them were absolutely marvelous. Again, so much time taken to write something like this is absolutely amazing. Yes, I thought it spoke to me. There's so much of it that I need to read again, because I think I was listening to her voice halfway through more than I was listening to the words, which is terrible. But I did get back on track. I did, honestly. Yes, I thought it was wonderful. And I want to hear more. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Layla.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
It's hard to voice the level of appreciation of a piece like this. It's complex. It requires understanding. It can require pauses and a little bit of research, although the AM seems to be very adequate. It comes at the end, not during the rite. You have to really admire the patience, the skill, the intelligence that it took to write something like this, and somehow make it flow, and somehow avoid preaching, and somehow avoid redundancy, and speak truth to all of that, and that's exactly what this piece does. It absolutely requires double reading, and I think it would be dishonorable to voice any negativity in any direction about this piece without understanding it first. It's a small masterpiece. Well, no, it's a long masterpiece.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to understand that Layla comes from Serbia. And, you know, the three-finger, symbol raises, you know, when you raise those three fingers, it's because you're building awareness and support for human rights. You're fighting for freedom and democracy in Myanmar, you know, which is a part of the South Asia there. And very powerful right, I think you said, Gray, you know, the role of religion, you know, and what it took up in life. It also brought great darkness and great light, but you know it can bring awful darkness at times. Religion, man-made religion, man-made beliefs, man-made laws, man-made interpretation of different biblical or, you know, religious writings to their own profit. And, she really speaks out here in a vivid voice. And great job, Layla.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Naomi. And I'd like to welcome area code 254, a.k.a. Passions Promise, to the show. Hello, Passions.
Good evening, all. Sorry I'm late.
Hi.
How are you all doing?
We're doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Did you get a chance to hear that last
poem? Well, that was one heck of a read.
Yeah. What did you think of the poem?
I think it was wonderfully written, and this is going to sound like way off, but, you know, I never understood or even knew what the three-finger salute was. So I learned a lot when I listened and I read the author's notes. She did a very good job on the read. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was very detailed and out there. I mean, it's something that we all can totally relate to.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to put you up next, Weaver, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. If my voice hangs out, that's a hold out, should I say. I'm just refreshing. Everything's taking so long. Oh, that's mine. Oh, no. Okay. Simon, give me 1 second, love, if you could.
Yeah.
So sorry, my mouth's so dry. Dream on. I have a recurring dream, horrific, demonic, obscene. When I wake, tense, cold, horrified by what I've seen, with me is the echo of a terrified, horrendous scream that appears not to echo without, it vibrates within. I don't open my eyes, it's better to surmise than to see, but I can't ignore the smell of brimstone, nor pretend I don't hear an evil, knowing giggle very close to me. I can't think of what I've committed to be so cursed. Then I hear a vile whisper. You don't simply dream, you astral travel. When you find a mind that's in torment, you gently wake them, depriving me of the fun I could have. You must desist at once or suffer the awful consequences. I open my eyes and see a small, wizened demon glaring at me. Little man, I know well, if you could stop me, you would have. You have no power, so from this hour, my aim is to thwart you. Be gone now. Leave me to my slumber. I have more work to do. End poem.
Wow. That's a hell of a dream. You know, I hope it's not real, but if it is, it would be terrifying to wake up with this demon beside you, you know, glaring at you. And I really like the way you ended it with, little man, I know well, if you could stop me, you would have. You have no power, so from this hour, my aim is to thwart you. Be gone now. Leave me to my slumber. I have more work to do. Well, just a fantastic job, Weaver. Excellent writing and excellent read.
Thank you.
Beautifully done. Absolutely. And, Lauren, what did you think?
I don't open my eyes. It's better to surmise than to see, but I can't ignore the smell of brimstone, nor pretend I don't hear an evil, knowing giggle very close to me. I can't think of what act I've committed to be so cursed. Many times we purposely do not open our eyes to something that either scares us or worries us. And, you know, we imagine it's better, probably, than it actually is. So I did like that very realistic conclusion. The vile whisper. I mean, there's nothing worse than experiencing a horrible recurring dream. You know, and you're covered in perspiration when you wake. It was nicely voiced with just the right amount of dark in it. Nicely done.
Beautiful.
Thank
comment.
You so much.
Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, you captured us right from the first sentence. I have a recurring dream, horrific, demonic, obscene. You know, you want to know what that dream is, you know. Voyeur. But you know, you want to know. But you have this talent, Kate, of captivating our attention, and you know, just making us read on, and you have a wonderful talent for storytelling, that's for sure. And I admire that in you. Every time you're just awesome work, you know, awesome writes, Very captivating and enthralling for sure.
Thank you. So
kind. Great comments, Naomi. Thank you. And Passions, what did you think?
You know, I think this is a piece that many of us can relate to, waking up and being shaken with fear from something that we have seen in a dream. And they caught this really well. I enjoyed the read, and, of course, I'm not going to go back and use the same lines that you and Lauren have used because, I mean, this was a beautiful, beautifully written piece. I actually had my eyes closed because I was afraid of what was going to be happening. So I was like, okay, me too, was trying to figure out what kind of dream this was. Storytelling perfection, I think they did an awesome job.
Absolutely. Great comment. Excellent comment, Passions. Thank you. And thank you for calling in. I appreciate your calling in.
I'm just sorry it was so late.
That's okay. Mark, you're up next.
All right. This is called Finally Free of Frost. Steel blue and gray heaves under a shifting mosaic of white froth. Soft winds of the equator yield to a blustery billow of a bellows, shifting the moving face of a still sea. Icebergs ride the Labrador Current, their crystal crags dotted with snow petrels, tourists aboard for an involuntary excursion. Great blue-white behemoths trailed by small fractures floating in their wake, tumbling as they calve away in warmer waters. Labrador wolf, coastal citizen, narrows his gaze to the distant drifter, mouthing a silent yelp of farewell. He has sensed the cloying warmth growing with time. Deep instinct yearns for an Arctic bite of cold. The fanged mouth of long winters subsides, withdrawing its maw, hiding from the warmth of civilization. Final freeze draws near, finality of heat marking a new territory, a blanket of extinction covering a melting land, finally free of frost. End poem.
Wow, that was amazing, right? You know, it really intrigues you. You know, I loved your detail of the icebergs. Icebergs ride the Labrador Current, their crystal crags dotted with snow petrels, tourists aboard for an involuntary excursion. Great blue-white behemoths trailed by small fractures floating in their wake, tumbling as they calve away in warmer waters. And then you've got the Labrador wolf, the coastal citizen, narrowing his gaze to the distant drifter, mouthing a silent yelp of farewell. Just an epic poem on the subject of a land being warmed and losing its chill. So just a beautiful poem, Lauren. Weaver, what did you think? Absolutely.
Oh, I agree. That was wonderfully read as well. Oh, so good. I love that first stanza. Steel blue and gray. He's under a shifting mosaic of white froth. And you've basically taken us through all of what would happen when the thaw starts and the land heats up. And there's the wolf able to get out and about and look for food, I suppose. I thought it was beautifully done. But you've got the fanged mouth of long winter subsides, drawing more, hiding from the warmth of civilization. That must be such a welcome thing if you live in that kind of country that's got that kind of fierceness of a winter. Beautifully, beautifully expressed. And I can actually feel the chill. Yes, I loved it. I loved it so much. Thank you, Laurent.
Thank you.
Beautiful comment. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, this is wonderfully written, Laura. You know, it's such an important subject, the subject of climate change. You know, and you address it wonderfully. you know, in an ironic way, finally free of frost, but, you know, frost is necessary up there. And, you know, your imagery, the way you, you know, like in all through the imagery, the way you attack nature is just beautiful. You know, I was reveting to the same stanza that the fanged mouth of long winter subsides, withdrawing its maw, hiding from the warmth of civilization. But, you know, also the icebergs ride the Labrador current, their crystal crags dotted with snow petrels, tourists aboard for an involuntary excursion. You know, it's true, you know, that's the icebergs drift down, you know, the animals become, I don't know if you meant that way, but the tourists, I took it as all, you know, those animals that are left drifting on these icebergs, you know, that are involuntary, you know, the involuntary drifters that are torn away from their homeland there. So awesome, awesome poem, awesomely well written and really stunning and very thought-provoking, right?
Yes, merci, Naomi.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. Passions, what did you think?
Well, I don't feel this was a very descriptive piece. It was well written and well read. I also enjoyed the fanged mouth stanza, as I did all of it, but the fanged mouth of long winter stands out to me. Here in Texas, we don't see a whole lot of the cold, and the frost is just here, touch and go. So, I mean, we don't get these really cold winters like others do. So when I read this, it took me to a whole new place. And I thank you, Laurent, for a very well-written piece, and enjoyed it completely.
Thank you very much.
And would you like to say anything about your piece, Laurent?
You know, look, permafrost is so important to the world. When the permafrost goes away, the land virtually collapses. Everything dries out. It's the natural order is completely disrupted, and the world is in balance for a reason. When we take it out of balance, it's like a top that starts to spin erratically, threatening to fly apart. Sometimes I think that's exactly what the world is near. Thank you for your comments.
Absolutely. Great job, Lauren. Okay, so I've got the next poem. This is called To Father a Couple by Nuno Cardoso. The clay is softly molded with words. A father knocks with worn-out knuckles at the door as the moon's round about the earth. The warmth burns like bright fire, centered between the ribs of a newborn boxer. Flick the switch inside the dusty fuse box and click, let there be light. Today, a teacher of the glass of juice. Tomorrow, the head of the glass of scotch. I renounce unlawful access to the spirit. May the sins of the buried father or mine never enter your walk alongside Christ. Kids dip their toes in both genetic pools, just enough to woo any pair of lusting eyeballs. Sharp steps on the ticker crack the crimson fire. High heels will click and clack on the floor. America's silver clinks and clanks on the bag. Ashes have just been flicked out of the bud, but women will undoubtedly gauge roses to Peter. Dread not, little metal bands. Nuno's not here to judge. I'm not that kind of father. Shush, now it's okay. Children, you may weep to me. I know nothing about what comes after. I leave that to your mother. She has seen it more than once. Gates, clouds, and pearls. I know only of hellhounds patting their nails on the black rocks. I know only about whiskey bottles and glasses, getting drunk in bars or shops, ice cubes that dilute the gray of all unwise pops, beer cans that fizz enough to foam and drop, showering cockroaches on the spot, filling bellies with tales of how grapes lie in their sleep and rats that scream out squeaks, trapped by the fairies of cheese. I know only about poems written with tough bluebird ink and tornadoes of fire, burning pens in papal. Children, listen to me. Allow me to whisper this white whale truth. For even if I'm not the best role model, this man is no longer a fool. Epic poem on the subject of fatherhood and the mistakes that I made along the way. And I thought it was a wonderful write with deep and powerful meaning. But it was definitely a wisdom-filled piece. You know, it really has a heart-hitting message to it. But, beautiful job. Excellent write, Nuno. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, this was. This was definitely very deep about someone who may not perhaps have wanted to learn, but had learned how to be a father, realized it's a very important job. It has to be done well. I particularly was very interested in, I'm sorry, my voice is going, "You may weep to me. I know nothing about what comes after. I leave that to your mother. She has seen it more than once. Gates, clouds, and pearls." Oh, you see, that made me think of the pearly gates. I wonder why. Oh, anyway, bound to have, I suppose. Yes, but I think this was very interesting. This was very cleverly written. It's somebody who's learned a lesson. He actually says in his AN, "I have learned from my mistakes." So that is wonderful. It was really good. And I enjoyed it very much. So thank you for sharing that with us, Nuno.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Lauren, what did you think?
Lauren, what a poem. At first line, the clay is softly molded with words. Father knocks the worn-out knuckles. That stopped me dead in my tracks initially. The clay is softly molded with words, those words of endearment, those words of wonder that we express when we first behold our child. I think all fathers can and should remember the feeling as the warmth burns like a bright fire. And then flick the switch to the side, the dusty fuse box, and click, "Let there be light." That's what happens to him. He is that dusty fuse box, and he's lit up, and he's providing light as a teacher of the glass of juice, then ironically followed by, tomorrow, the head of the glass of scotch. Yeah, I think he makes a nod to the dangers of being a woman in today's society, but he's not judgmental. He knows nothing of what comes at the end of life. Rather, a mother who has seen it more than once, gates, clouds, and pearls, is delight. Then he speaks about his darkness. I know only of hellhounds patting their nails on the black rocks. I know only about whiskey bottles and glasses. You know, the darkness, and he confessed this at the end. "Children, listen to me. Allow me to whisper this white whale truth. For even if I'm not the best role model, this man is no longer a fool." It's love. It's non-judgmental. And he's admitting to his failings, but in a wise, wise way. Wonderful work.
Great comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Passions, what did you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. Laurent said it best all the way through. So I'm just following suit. He did a great comment, and I believe this piece is many of us can relate to from the upbringing, you know, some story. We've all tipped that glass, so to speak. And I believe that he caught the emotions and feel throughout this piece. and that he had to learn his way. And by the author's notes, it seems like he has. And this was a very well-written piece and very well-read. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Excellent comment. Thank you, Passions. Okay, everybody. Well, thank you all for calling in and sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. I'd like to wish you all much love and have a wonderful night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, you all. I love that.
Good night, all.
All right, that's a practice twang.
So cool.
Good night.
Good night.